Let's turn to Ephesians tonight. Amen. Ephesians. We've been spending quite a bit of time praying. Wednesday nights we've been praying. And, you know, sometimes you can, when I preach at other churches, sometimes you can tell the hunger level of people. Amen. It was just, the hunger level was there. When I walked in the door, it was like the expectation was there. The switch was flipped on. And those people were just hungry for the anointing and the Holy Ghost to show up. And Wednesday nights, we've been praying for, obviously, our government, for the election. We're commanded to pray for those things. We're not, God doesn't say, well, if you feel like it. In fact, let's turn there. Well, you stay in Ephesians. We're going to read that, Ephesians, and I'm looking up some other scriptures here really quick too. But let's look at Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and the 18th verse. Adrian, what do you have? What translation do you have?
The Living Bible.
Okay, I guess we'll let it go. Go ahead and read it if you would, please. Thank you.
Pray all the time. Ask God for anything in line with the Holy Spirit's wishes. Plead with Him, reminding Him of your needs, and keep praying earnestly for all Christians everywhere. Keep going.
Yeah, verse 19.
Pray for me too, and ask God to give me the right words as I boldly tell others about the Lord, and as I explain to them that His salvation is for the Gentiles too.
So, you know, I will say this, guys. You know, just so much we have gotten into the mentality of praying for things we need, rather than, I feel like there's a shift going on in the spirit realm. Instead of praying for, and it doesn't mean we're not praying for things we need. You know, if we need healing, we need these things, we definitely want to go for the Lord. But I see the Lord really speaking and moving on people to pray for other people. We need to intercede for people. I believe that's the lost art, if you want to call it an art of Christianity, especially in the modern Christian world. We are often so focused on it, and again, it's a lot of the preacher's fault. It's our fault. A lot of the ministers out there that are going out and they're focusing completely on what do I need, believe for your needs, bless me session, everything's bless me session. And there's nothing wrong with being blessed. God does want us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. But I really believe this is a lost area. You know, when I went to prayer and healing school, a lot of our prayer session and a lot of was praying out the plan for our life. Because again, we're there. And during that time period, we're getting trained. But Adrian and I spent a lot of time, several hours there in prayer groups that were praying for other people. Like for myself, I would pray. We would have a prayer group. We'd meet early in the mornings before school started and everything else too. And I was the only American there. There was a British guy from UK, guy from Africa, another guy from, I don't know, Europe somewhere and everywhere. And so there was like four of us there. And all we pray is for a missions group. All we pray for missionaries. You know, those people overseas that are doing things for God. And we would pray for things. And during that time, we would see things in the Spirit. And we pray for things in the Spirit. And God needs people to intercede for others. Brother Hagin said this, and it's really good, talking about, he says, I've stopped praying for myself years ago because I know God's just going to supply my needs, right? And again, it all comes back to relationship. One of the things that I really focused on last Sunday when I was preaching in Pornora was getting out of the mindset that chasing after a blessing or focusing on how come I didn't get tongues? How come I didn't get this? How come I didn't get into that? And it's a person that we're chasing after. It's not a thing. The Bible says, forget not all my benefits. There are benefits that come with serving God, and God wants us not to forget about those things. But the Israelites ran into this problem too. The Hebrews did when they came out of Egypt. Because what were they looking at? I mean, they weren't looking at God. They were looking at their circumstances all the time. God delivered them out. He delivered them out. I mean, everything God did, they had a slave mentality. Everything God did, they were still complaining. Why? Because they were in process to the promised land but they couldn't see it. They took their eyes off of the character of God. Character of God is saying, I am providing you a land with milk and honey. I am providing you with good things. I am giving you these things. And when they wake up, I got to eat this manna again. No, I'm sorry, your needs are met. Right? When the Bible says that every single Hebrew that came out of Egypt, there was not one feeble among them. Can you imagine? I mean, it ranges from different scholars, but anywhere from 1 to about 6 million people, approximate, kind of in the middle, okay? So there's a lot of people. And every single one of them came out healthy and whole. Now, I'm not a medical person in here, I know, you know, but I will say this, if you're in dirty, living in dirt, that does not help your health standards, right? If you're living in substandard health conditions, meaning sanitary, that does not help you. Do you think that while the Hebrews were in Egypt that they had the best amenities possible? No. They were slaves. So everything to them was probably they were, you know, second-class citizens. It's a miracle of God that they came out completely whole. So again, it's not we're not focusing on the things or trying to get I'm trying to get tongues, I'm trying to get healing, we're following a person and not things. But I really believe the Holy Spirit is leading us moving forward in these times and these days moving forward is to intercede. Well, let's just say this. We've been so distracted in, especially here in America, look at our country now, or that has been, that we've happened, you're right? I mean, we've got all kinds of terrible things happening in this nation, and it all comes back to us. It's our fault. We've let this junk go in the body of Christ. You're like, well, I don't really believe that. Well, let's look at the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, we see, what was it? It was man's job. It was God gave man the commission to take authority over the earth. And he didn't do it, right? Now, what is our job? Our job is to take authority here on the earth. Christ has already defeated the enemy, and we are the occupational force, right? So we're the force that comes in and just maintains everything. Well, we've let the devil run shot too much, and now we're seeing the fruits of it here in this world and especially in America. You know, we got too many ministers. Well, I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to. You know, I will say this. Samuel went to correct King David, right? And we've got things mixed up in this world that, you know, ministers aren't supposed to say anything. Christians aren't supposed to say anything. We're not supposed to do anything. And that's completely unbiblical. That is completely unbiblical. So we are to pray for our leaders. We also need to hold them accountable, but we're going to pray for them. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's read that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I'll let you get there. This is going to be kind of a preface tonight. We're going to spend just some time praying again. Because there's a difference sometimes between what we call the prayer of faith, and there's a difference between the prayer of faith and interceding, right? Meaning this, we don't just go, we're going to pray for somebody. I believe in the name of Jesus, they're going to be saved. I thank you for it, blah, 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 we're done. No, there's a battle going on with people. And so when we believe for finances, that's what we call the prayer of faith. We are praying for the prayer of faith, right? We just don't say one prayer for the president and we're done, right? Well, I believe our president is going to have God's wisdom and blah, 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 and I say it in Jesus' name, and that's what I believe in. Okay, and then we're done. No, there are forces bombarding him. There are demonic forces bombarding him. There are demonic forces that are bombarding our leaders all the time. It's a continuous process, right? We're just not a one-and-done kind of deal like we do with prayer of faith. So, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, I just want to back up here really quick, too. This is the same preference as, like, You know, we don't go to God and say, tell him one time we love him when we get born again, right? God, I love you. Okay, we're done. No, it's a continuous conversation, isn't it? Our prayer life is a continuous conversation with God. We're not at, and again, people think that prayer time is just begging God for things and asking God for things and pleading for him for things. It is worship. It is praying out the plan. That's one of the powerful things about, and I'm not going to get into all about prayer tonight because there's way too much stuff to talk about. But that's one of the amazing things about praying in tongues is because the devil doesn't know what you're talking about, right? Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14, it says that we pray not unto men but unto God. We're praying out what? Mysteries unto God. That's one of the functions is we're praying out mysteries unto God. That is brilliant by the Holy Spirit. That is a God thing and is so brilliant because often we're praying in tongues. The enemy hears us and he goes, oh, okay. But whether he hears us or not, our prayers are effective, right, when we're doing it in prayer. But the cool thing about praying in tongues is we're praying out mysteries. Verse 2 says, for kings, who are we praying for? We're praying for kings and for all those in authority. The what? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It does not say so that we pray for our leaders so they'll do what we want them to do politically. Because, I mean, there should be no difference between my political views and God's political views, right? There shouldn't be any gap in there. But we're seeing these people and on TV and everything, and they're claiming to be something and they're not. Or they're claiming completely opposite of the Bible, and there shouldn't be any gap. Whatever God is speaking to us about through His Word or through His Spirit, we should all be in lockstep with the Lord and His Word and His things. So again, it says, for kings, for all those in authority, that what we may live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. So our lives should be peaceable in all godliness and honesty. There's not a lot of honesty sometimes in politics. You ever notice that? In government? And especially when you get authority, the devil will come along and tempt you in some areas. Whether you're a king or hold any kind of authority, you got to have some character to be able to do that. When you rule over people or you have power like that, that's who the devil comes along and attacks, right? He's not necessarily, I mean, he attacks everybody. I mean, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory. It doesn't mean we're attacked. But the biggest pressure and the biggest attack is going to be on those in authority. Why? Because they have the biggest influence, right? If the devil can get somebody to fall, then the domino effect. If a leader can fall, right? I mean, I just remember back in the 80s, you know, when I would watch Jimmy Swaggart all the time. I mean, every Sunday morning, we'd get up, I'd watch Jimmy Swaggart, we'd get ready to go to church in the morning as a kid, and these huge crusades and everything, and then what happened to him and some other ministers, at that time as a kid, and I thought, now if he can't make it, how am I going to make it, right? And I had those thoughts, and there was a lady that came to him one time, and I remember listening to this, the ministers were sharing it, and she said, let me pray for you, and he said, no, I don't need it, and that's the biggest danger, amen? We need prayer. I need prayer, right? Now, I'm going to continue to walk according to the Word, but we all need prayer. We all take prayer, okay? Now, so there's always that corporate prayer agreement. You know, when we're on an island by ourselves, or, you know, when you, that's where the devil likes to get us off to, is, you know, your little island on yourselves. That's where you're dangerous. That's where we can get deception when we've got all the answers, we know everything. No, when you're on people that know everything and they don't need any of these things, you need to run, right? Because that's scary. That's scary. I need the Lord. I need the Holy Spirit's help. I can't do it. I'm on myself. I can't even breathe. I can't walk. I can't do anything without Him. And so, but I want to back up to verse 1 really quick here too. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, So we're providing a supply in prayer, right? Whatever God needs, we're there to provide some kind of supplication for Him. Prayers, okay? Intercession. Intercession is we're going to God on behalf of somebody else. We are going to God on behalf of somebody else. We're interceding for them. We are going to God on their behalf. And giving of thanks. That's interesting right there too, of giving of thanks. Why are we giving of thanks? Because it brings us back into balance, right? Too. And it helps us focus on that God is the answer and He has the answer and we can rest in Him. We can thank Him for those things, right? If all we're focused on is negativity and this is, you know, oh Lord, help us with this, help us with this, we can sit back and go, you know what? Thank God. Amen. It's all going to work out. God works all things for the good of them who love Him. Amen. And so we can rest in those things and we can come back and praise Him and thank Him because, you know, like Brother Hagin always used to say, you end your prayers with thanksgiving because that's from your heart to say, I trust you, God. I'm resting in you. It's taken care of. Am I putting you to sleep? Are you okay? All right. Do we need some coffee or some? Do we need Bobby Baker to come back up and tell some more jokes or? Good. Now I get excited about the jokes. So I mean that's crazy, isn't it? I mean we're always, you know, yeah. So I love the jokes. But I believe that again, I really believe this is where the church has missed it a lot, is just we have not prayed for those in authority over us. We have not spent the time praying or interceding for lost people. I have prayed for people in the past that have been, I thought, oh man. My uncle's one of them where I prayed for him. And I thought, my mind and the natural mind is like, I don't know if this guy's ever going to get born again. Right? I don't know when this is ever going to. And I would pray and intercede for him and my cousins, and all my cousins are born again. His sons, my cousins, they're both born again. He got born again. My uncle did. I did his funeral. But it was just such a privilege to know that it's like, at that point, I interceded for people that have accepted Him and passed on. And that's powerful. Now, I wanted him to get healed, but he got saved. And that's what I had interceded for years for him for, was to get born again. I prayed for my cousins. They've got born again. And they're in, you know, one of my cousins is, he was in Indiana, and he's serving God. And at the funeral, his wife came up and hugged me and just said, thank you. It's intercession, guys. It's praying for people, spending time, telling them the word, praying for people, interceding for people, right? She's like, you're the one that did it, you know. Prayed them all in. So again, it's the intercession. We don't know how powerful our intercession is. This is kind of goofy, but I just remember, you know, there's certain people that the Holy Spirit will pull your heart to and everything else to. And I remember a kid that I was witnessing to on the streets, and he would not listen to me, laughed, and I just was, and I, you know how you get that, we're all human, so any rejection you're going to be, like, it kind of pricks you a little bit, like, eh. And then the Lord just spoke to me and said, just pray for him, intercede for him. So, okay, so I intercede. A year later, he came in the door, got born again, you know, right there. It was interesting because I remember I was on the platform on praise and worship, and this kid came right down, came into church, and my jaw dropped. I'm like, that's the guy that was laughing at me on the streets. And he turned around. So the intercession is very powerful. You know, and I've got other stories too that, you know, I've prayed for people over the years and they've come to the Lord. Now, verse 4 is the key here, all right? Verse 4 is a key. Well, let's just back up to verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So what is good and acceptable? God says that it's good that we pray for our leaders and intercede for them and people, not only for them, but other people so that we can live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And the Bible says this is good. Now, verse 4, here's what we want to get to. Who will have all men to be saved? I've heard this junk before, and we were in a Bible study one time, Ada and I, and I was just like, what? In our church years ago, in the church we went to, and hadn't gone to Ramey yet or anything, but this lady had dug up in those Corinthians and Ephesians where it talks about predestination and all that. Well, God isn't predestinating people to go to heaven or hell. That's not it at all, okay? Because if that's it, why are we getting born again? Why are we getting people born again? Why are we doing these things? It just means that God has predestined each one of us for a particular purpose. Doesn't mean heaven or hell. That's not it at all. That's not the context of what he's even talking, what Paul's even talking about. But they went in the predestination thing. And I came back to this scripture. Well, why does this Bible say that, God who will have all men be saved and what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. It's always God's will. Why? So intercession is very important to pray for people because we live quiet and peaceable lives, and it provides a platform for people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved? It is God's desire that every single person that takes breath on this earth come to Jesus and get born again. To come, not only that, but to come unto the knowledge of the truth. To be born again and to come to the knowledge of Him. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Do you know that Christ still has a ministry today, and is interceding for us? Didn't know that. Jesus still has a ministry. Just because he died on the cross and he rose from the dead doesn't mean he's done, right? That he's just hanging out with little cherubs floating around on clouds in heaven. No, he's at work. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding. So he is interceding for you. That's why, the girls we got in this discussion the other day, they were like, some of the kids at school, they pray, they do this, so they don't say in the name of Jesus. I'm like, well, that's our gateway to God, is the name of Jesus. He's the one we go through to get to the Father. I think it's just important as we go, anytime we go to the Father or go in prayer, a lot of people just have this mentality that's going, I'm wasting my time. Is this really working? Is this really happening? That's when you know you're effective. When the enemy comes along and tries to tell you that what you're doing is, wow, you just wasted an hour. No, devil, I've just exposed your fear. Because anytime I get that, I remember praying here, it's been years ago, but I was praying about abortion laws being overturned and this and that, and just getting into some intercession one night, spending several hours praying, and I was just praying out some things, and the devil's like, well, you just spent a lot of time. Who are you that you're going to pray that out? And blah, 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 and this and that. And I said, I've just exposed you. Because why would you even bring this up? The devil does not want us to pray. Especially doesn't want us to pray in tongues, because now we're getting into some realms where dimensions and things where he doesn't understand and he can't combat these things. So we are vessels here on the earth. Our intercession, if we just want to wrap this up before we spend a few minutes praying here, our prayer time, our intercession is to, verse 4, to lead men to be saved, and it is God's will for them to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why we're here, right? I care about all people. I want all people to come to the saving knowledge of Christ, right? Now, personally, my own personal opinion, whether it's Democrat, Republican, where it's this or that or whatever, my whole opinion just comes back to this. How is God's Spirit going to manifest here on the earth? I don't really care about politics, to tell you the truth. I don't. The whole thing just bores me. The people just, like, A lot of them are just narcissists, and they wear me out after a while, right? Arguing each other. I don't really care. But my point is this: we need to pray that righteousness would prevail in this nation. Why? So that God can come in and invade this land. That's it. I don't care about anything else, right? I don't care to argue or fight about anything else about politics. I just want righteousness. I want precious babies to see life and to see and experience what God has for them. Amen? I want their precious little lives to be spared so that they can do what God calls them to do and impact people. Because we are in the end times. And we need righteousness to be poured out on the earth. It's like the word says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, he will hear them from heaven, and he will come, and they will repent and turn from their wicked ways, then he will come and heal their land. We needed to repent. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to cry out to him so that he can come and heal our land. And I guarantee you, the news, no matter what station you're watching, it doesn't really matter. It's all wrong. Because they are talking about the world system. The world system is all lies, right? They're not talking about the real. It's a spiritual war going on right now between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness. They're battling it out. It all comes down to men's spirits, whether they're going to be born again or not. Everything else they're just detail. I mean, it's just extra. That doesn't matter, right? But we can pray. We can see the change. And I believe that the church is waking up. Those who are awake, right? Those who are awake. There are still people that are still continuing to preach the same, you know, feel good, you know, pet and stroke me messages. But right now, we need God to show up big time in this nation, right? Because he's the only one that can change this situation. We can't. I can't. I don't know what to do, but God does. You don't know what to do, but God does. Amen? Amen. So let's just spend a few minutes praying. Amen. I think it's important, and I always talk about in Wednesday night prayer, I learned this in prayer school with Jim Hockaday. We need to get some word into us. We need to get some confidence so that we go to God in prayer. We've got some confidence, we've got some focus, and we've got some direction. So we're going to intercede tonight for a little while for some people. If the Holy Spirit gives you somebody, please pray that out. Pray for them. You know, we should have people that we're praying for. But until now, until the election, we really need to just pray for our nation. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your direction. We thank you that tonight we come before you with the sole purpose of praying for our nation so that men would come to the saving knowledge of you. Lord God, that their eyes of our understanding would be enlightened tonight. Father, we come before you tonight and we corporately pray for our president and his family and the vice president and his family, Lord God. We pray that there is health in their body. We thank you that they're completely healed from the coronavirus. Lord, we thank you that you are sending godly men and women around them to make right decisions. We thank you that they're protected. We thank you that they are anointed. There in 1 Timothy, we are praying for our leaders, Lord, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in the name of Jesus. We declare it, Lord. We thank you for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. It's getting stronger. Hallelujah. amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, interesting. We'll just close with this. You know, interesting is I was reading about Mary Baxter. She, you know, has the divine revelation of heaven and divine revelation of hell. And she talks about how the angels are, the Lord is, all the prayers are going up to heaven, and she's seeing these things. The angels are going back and forth and delivering prayers to heaven. You know, don't think about that. Oh, you know, no, we are impacting the spirit realm, amen? When we are praying, You know, everything that we say and do is recorded. And so, you know, when I just find it so fascinating how we will, and it's that sin consciousness part of mankind where the sin nature, where, you know, if we make a mistake, we focus on it, or we, you know, are very aware of that. But when we're doing something good or praying out the plan like tonight, sometimes we're not focused on that, or, you know, acknowledge the things that we are doing right. The devil and our flesh always likes to point out all of our mistakes, but, you know, we are impacting people tonight by praying. Yeah. Amen. And we're going to do more in the future, not just prayer, but other things, but because it's just been a weird time this year. It's just been very odd, very strange, but I just sense on the Holy Spirit, things are going to radically change soon. Amen. We're going to see some radical change. Amen. I haven't really, and I think we're all kind of just, I mean, who saw COVID coming and who saw this year, 2020? It's just nobody did. But, but amen. We serve a big God and he loves us and he's going to see us through. And we can definitely have a heart of thanksgiving. We thank you. Amen. Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you. I thank you for these precious people. And I just plead the blood of Jesus over them. Protection, health, healing, provision in their bodies, provision in their finances. We curse debt in the name of Jesus right now. We just declare blessings over them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We will see you all next Saturday. Praise God. Have a great week.